Introduction. Ignatius, who is also called Theophorus, to the church which is at Ephesus, in Asia, deservedly most happy, being blessed in the greatness and fullness of God, the Father, and predestined before the beginning of time, that it should be always for an enduring and unchangeable glory, being united and elected through the true passion by the will of the Father and Jesus Christ, our God. Abundant happiness through Jesus Christ and His undefiled grace. Chapter 1. Praise of the Ephesians. I have become acquainted with your name, much beloved in God, which you have acquired by the habit of righteousness, according to the faith and love in Jesus Christ our Saviour. Being the followers of God, and stirring up yourselves by the blood of God, you have perfectly accomplished the work which was beseeming to you. For, on hearing that I came bound from Syria, for the common name and hope, trusting through your prayers to be permitted to fight with beasts at Rome, that so by martyrdom I may indeed become the disciple of him who gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God, you hastened to see me. I received, therefore, your whole multitude in the name of God, through Onesimus, a man of inexpressible love, and your bishop in the flesh, whom I pray you by Jesus Christ to love, and that you would all seek to be like him. And blessed be he who has granted unto you, being worthy, to obtain such an excellent bishop. Chapter 2. Congratulations and entreaties. As to my fellow servant Berhus, your deacon in regard to God and blessed in all things, I beg that he may continue longer, both for your honour and that of your bishop. And Crocus also, worthy both of God and you, whom I have received as the manifestation of your love, hath in all things refreshed me, as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ shall also refresh him, together with Onesimus. And Berhus and Euplus and Fronto, by means of whom I have, as to love, beheld all of you, may I always have joy of you, if indeed I be worthy of it. It is, therefore, befitting that you should in every way glorify Jesus Christ. Who hath glorified you, that by a unanimous obedience you may be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, and may all speak the same thing concerning the same thing? And that, being subject to the bishop and the presbytery, you may in all respects be sanctified. Chapter 3. Exhortations to Unity. I do not issue orders to you as if I were some great person, for though I am bound for the name of Christ, I am not yet perfect in Jesus Christ. For now I begin to be a disciple, and I speak to you as fellow disciples with me. For it was needful for me to have been stirred up by you in faith, exhortation, patience, and long-suffering. But inasmuch as love suffers me not to be silent in regard to you, I have therefore taken upon me first to exhort you that you would all run together in accordance with the will of God. For even Jesus, Christ, our inseparable life, is the manifested will of the Father. As also, bishops, settled everywhere to the utmost bounds of the earth, are so by the will of Jesus Christ. Chapter 4. The same continued. Wherefore it is fitting that you should run together in accordance with the will of your bishop, which thing also you do. For your justly renowned presbytery, worthy of God, is fitted as exactly to the bishop as the strings are to the harp. Therefore, in your concord and harmonious love, Jesus Christ is sung. And do you, man by man, become a choir, that being harmonious in love, and taking up the song of God in unison, you may with one voice sing to the Father through Jesus Christ, so that he may both hear you and perceive by your works that you are indeed the members of his Son, It is profitable, therefore, that you should live in a blameless unity, that thus you may always enjoy communion with God. Chapter 5. The Praise of Unity. For if I, in this brief space of time, have enjoyed such fellowship with your bishop, I mean not of a mere human, but of a spiritual nature, how much more do I reckon you happy who are so joined to him as the Church is to Jesus Christ, and as Jesus Christ is to the Father, that so all things may agree in unity. Let no man deceive himself. If any one be not within the altar, he is deprived of the bread of God. For if the prayer of one or two possesses such power, how much more that of the bishop and the whole church? He, therefore, that does not assemble with the church, has even by this manifested his pride, and condemned himself. For it is written, God resists the proud. Let us be careful, then, not to set ourselves in opposition to the bishop, in order that we may be subject to God. Chapter 6. Have respect to the bishop, as to Christ himself. Now the more anyone sees the bishop keeping silence, the more ought he to revere him. For we ought to receive every one whom the master of the house sends to be over his household, as we would do him that sent him. It is manifest, therefore, that we should look upon the bishop even as we would upon the Lord himself. And indeed, Onesimus himself greatly commends your good order in God, that you all live according to the truth, and that no sect has any dwelling place among you. Nor indeed do you hearken to any one rather than to Jesus Christ speaking in truth. Chapter 7. Beware of false teachers. For some are in the habit of carrying about the name of Jesus Christ in wicked guile, while yet they practice things unworthy of God, whom you must flee as you would wild beasts. For they are ravening dogs who bite secretly, against whom you must be on your guard, inasmuch as they are men who can scarcely be cured. There is one physician who is possessed both of flesh and spirit, both made and not made, God existing in flesh, true life in death, both of Mary and of God, first possible and then impossible, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter 8. Renewed praise of the Ephesians. Let not then any one deceive you, as indeed you are not deceived, inasmuch as you are wholly devoted to God. For since there is no strife raging among you, which might distress you, you are certainly living in accordance with God's will. I am far inferior to you, and require to be sanctified by your church of Ephesus, so renowned throughout the world. They that are carnal cannot do those things which are spiritual, nor they that are spiritual the things which are carnal, even as faith cannot do the works of unbelief, nor unbelief the works of faith. But even those things which you do according to the flesh are spiritual, for you do all things in Jesus Christ. Chapter 9. You have given no heed to false teachers. Nevertheless, I have heard of some who have passed on from this to you, having false doctrine, whom you did not suffer to sow among you, but stopped your ears, that you might not receive those things which were sown by them, as being stones of the temple of the Father, prepared for the building of God the Father, and drawn up on high by the instrument of Jesus Christ, which is the cross, making use of the Holy Spirit as a rope, while your faith was the means by which you ascended, and your love the way which led up to God. You, therefore, as well as all your fellow travellers, are God-bearers, temple-bearers, Christ-bearers, bearers of holiness, adorned in all respects with the commandments of Jesus Christ, in whom also I exult that I have been thought worthy, by means of this epistle, to converse and rejoice with you. Because, with respect to your Christian life, you love nothing but God only. Chapter 10. Exhortations to prayer, humility, etc. And pray you without ceasing in behalf of other men, For there is in them hope of repentance, that they may attain to God. See then that they be instructed by your works, if in no other way. Be you meek in response to their wrath, humble in opposition to their boasting. To their blasphemies return your prayers. In contrast to their error, be you steadfast in the faith, and for their cruelty, manifest your gentleness. While we take care not to imitate their conduct, let us be found their brethren in all true kindness, and let us seek to be followers of the Lord, who ever more unjustly treated, more destitute, more condemned, that so no plant of the devil may be found in you, but you may remain in all holiness and sobriety in Jesus Christ, both with respect to the flesh and spirit. Chapter 11, An Exhortation to Fear God, etc. The last times are come upon us. Let us therefore be of a reverent spirit, and fear the long-suffering of God, that it tend not to our condemnation. For let us either stand in awe of the wrath to come, or show regard for the grace which is at present displayed. One of two things, only, in one way or another, let us be found in Christ Jesus unto the true life. Apart from him, let nothing attract you. For whom I bear about these bonds, these spiritual jewels, by which may I arise through your prayers, of which I entreat I may always be a partaker, that I may be found in the lot of the Christians of Ephesus, who have always been of the same mind with the apostles through the power of Jesus Christ. Chapter 12. Praise of the Ephesians. I know both who I am and to whom I write. I am a condemned man. You have been the objects of mercy. I am subject to danger. You are established in safety. You are the persons through whom those pass that are cut off for the sake of God. You are initiated into the mysteries of the gospel with Paul, the holy, the deservedly most happy, at whose feet may I be found when I shall attain to God, who in all his epistles makes mention of you in Christ Jesus. Chapter 13. Exhortation to meet together frequently for the worship of God. Take heed, then, often to come together to give thanks to God and show forth his praise. For when you assemble frequently in the same place, the powers of Satan are destroyed, and the destruction at which he aims is prevented by the unity of your faith. Nothing is more precious than peace, by which all war, both in heaven and earth, is brought to an end. Chapter 14. Exhortations to Faith and Love. None of these things is hid from you, if you perfectly possess that faith and love towards Christ Jesus, which are the beginning and the end of life. For the beginning is faith, and the end is love. Now these two, being inseparably connected together, are of God, while all other things which are requisite for a holy life follow after them. No man, truly, making a profession of faith sins, nor does he that possesses love hate any one. The tree is made manifest by its fruit. So those that profess themselves to be Christians shall be recognized by their conduct. For there is not now a demand for mere profession, but that a man be found continuing in the power of faith to the end. Chapter 15. Exhortation to confess Christ by silence as well as speech. It is better for a man to be silent and be a Christian than to talk and not to be one. It is good to teach if he who speaks also acts. There is then one teacher who spake and it was done, while even those things which he did in silence are worthy of the Father. He who possesses the word of Jesus is truly ability to hear even his very silence, that he may be perfect and may both act as he speaks and be recognized by his silence. There is nothing which is hid from God, but our very secrets are near to him. Let us therefore do all things as those who have him dwelling in us, that we may be his temples, and he may be in us as our God. which indeed he is, and will manifest himself before our faces. Wherefore, we justly love him. Chapter 16. The Fate of False Teachers. Do not err, my brethren. Those that corrupt families shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If, then, those who do this as respects the flesh have suffered death, how much more shall this be the case with any one who corrupts by wicked doctrine the faith of God for which Jesus Christ was crucified? Such an one, becoming defiled in this way, shall go away into everlasting fire, and so shall every one that hearkens unto him. Chapter 17. Beware of false doctrines. For this end did the Lord suffer the ointment to be poured upon his head, that he might breathe immortality into his church. Be not you anointed with the bad odor of the doctrine of the prince of this world. Let him not lead you away, captive, from the life which is set before you. And why are we not all prudent, since we have received the knowledge of God, which is Jesus Christ? Why do we foolishly perish, not recognizing the gift which the Lord has of a truth sent to us? Chapter 18. The Glory of the Cross. Let my spirit be counted as nothing for the sake of the cross, which is a stumbling block to those that do not believe, but to us salvation and life eternal. Where is the wise man? Where the disputer? Where is the boasting of those who are styled prudent? For our God, Jesus Christ, was, according to the appointment of God, conceived in the womb by Mary, of the seed of David, but by the Holy Ghost, he was born and baptized, that by his passion he might purify the water. Chapter 19. Three Celebrated Mysteries. Now the virginity of Mary was hidden from the prince of this world, as was also her offspring. And the death of the Lord, three mysteries of renown, which were wrought in silence by God. How then was he manifested to the world? A star shone forth in heaven above all the other stars, the light of which was inexpressible, while its novelty struck men with astonishment. And all the rest of the stars, with the sun and moon, formed a chorus to this star, and its light was exceedingly great above them all. And there was agitation felt as to whence this new spectacle came, so unlike to everything else in the heavens. Hence every kind of magic was destroyed, and every bond of wickedness disappeared. Ignorance was removed, and the old kingdom abolished, God himself being manifested in human form for the renewal of eternal life. And now that took a beginning which had been prepared by God. Henceforth all things were in a state of tumult, because he meditated the abolition of death. Chapter 20. Promise of another letter. If Jesus Christ shall graciously permit me through your prayers, and if it be his will, I shall, in a second little work, which I will write to you, make further manifest to you the nature of the dispensation of which I have begun to treat with respect to the new man, Jesus Christ, in his faith and in his love, in his suffering, and in his resurrection. Especially will I do this, if the Lord make known to me that you come together, man by man, in common through grace, individually, in one faith, and in Jesus Christ, who was of the seed of David, according to the flesh, being both the Son of Man and the Son of God, so that you obey the bishop and the presbytery with an undivided mind, breaking one and the same bread, which is the medicine of immortality, and the antidote to prevent us from dying, but which causes that we should live for ever in Jesus Christ. Chapter 21. Conclusion. My soul be for yours and theirs whom, for the honour of God, you have sent to Smyrna, whence also I write to you, giving thanks unto the Lord, and loving Polycarp, even as I do you. Remember me, as Jesus Christ also remembered you. Pray you for the church which is in Syria, whence I am led bound to Rome, being the last of the faithful who are there, even as I have been thought worthy to be chosen to show forth the honour of God. Farewell in God the Father, and in Jesus Christ, our common hope. Source, Astus, translated by Alexander Roberts and James Donaldson. From Ante-Nicene Fathers, Volume 1, edited by Alexander Roberts, James Donaldson, and A. Cleveland Cox, Buffalo, New York, Christian Literature Publishing Co., 1885. Edited for Voice of the Fathers by Josh Peterson. Obtained from Christian Classics, Ethereal Library.